Scripture today is from Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. All of your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom. They will give examples of your power. They will tell about your mighty deeds and about the majesty and glory of your reign. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps his promises. He is gracious in all he does. The Lord helps the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their loads. The eyes of all look to you in hope. You give them their food as they need it. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. The Lord protects all those who love him, but he destroys the wicked. I will praise the Lord, and may everyone on earth bless his holy name forever and ever.
Amen. Well, this morning, come to a finish on the series on worship, on God's song. And I think in many ways, this morning does, at least I hope it will, I pray it will, bring all the threads together. Because worship, gathered worship, I've talked about scattered worship, but gathered worship, what we're about here this morning, I'm going to end with a quote from someone who says it is the most truthful moment of the week for us who follow Jesus. Because in these moments, God is at work by his Spirit shaping and forming a new identity in us to be his children, sons and daughters, serving, representing him in this world. There are a lot of different views and understandings of what gathered worship is all about. I want to open with a quote from Isaac Wardell, who is he's actually the worship director of Trinity Presbyterian Church in Charlottesville, Virginia. And he says this in a blog post. He says, "It is important that we do not approach the worship service, this gathered time we have this morning, as a concert hall or a lecture hall, but rather that we approach the time that we have together when we gather on Sundays as a banquet hall where we partake together of an incredible feast." And I've been thinking about this. Well, I've actually been aware of this quote for the last 2 months, and I've been thinking about it through this time. And imagining to myself, trying to get what were these pictures that he writes of here? What was he trying to get at? Because he didn't really describe it. And so, just my best attempt here. But worship as a concert hall. I have been in other churches and situations over the years where worship has been seen primarily as a concert hall. And when worship is seen as a concert hall, it's really all about those who are leading the song portion or the hymn portion of the worship. The focus is on the leadership of the singing part of the worship. That's all that's seen to be key and primary and essential important in the service of worship. That's worship as a concert hall. Worship as a lecture hall. Oh, I've been in services like that over the years in other situations and places too. And that's all about the one who is preaching. I mean, it's all about the message. I've been in services where everything else that was going on in the service was just like a preliminary until you got to the main feature, the message. And that's not what gathered worship is to be about either. Worship as a banquet hall. What's that? What's the picture there? What's the essence of that? Worship as a banquet hall, and perhaps it's so appropriate that this comes on Thanksgiving Sunday, but it's all about a family who are coming together, who are hungry, who are expectant, who are ready to share in a feast experience together. We gather here thinking that we're going to be those who are privileged to take part in a wonderful, incredible, satisfying, deeply enriching feast and meal. Sunday worship is not just something that certain select people serve up so the rest of us can eat. In fact, gathered worship, when we come together, I think this is biblical, it's Knox's potluck feast. This is potluck right here this morning, okay? It's not something served up by me or served up by the praise team. It's our potluck feast here this morning. We all have a part to play. We all have work to do here. You know, there are some congregations that, denominations even, that suggest they're non-liturgical, and there's others that say they're liturgical. Well, really, it's a false dichotomy, really, because every church has a liturgy. Liturgy simply means the work of the people. What it is, it's potluck. What it is, we come to do, the part that each one of us has to do as we gather for worship on Sunday morning. Now, what is it that we have to do? What is the potluck that we bring? Well, we greet one another. Some of you did this before the service. But if you didn't get a chance to do it before the service, Brad and I are going to show you right now how to do it. My friend's going to help me. Lord bless you, Brad. Now, you may have a little bit more of the Scottish reserve in you, so come on, help me out. God bless you, Brad. Or maybe you're feeling very youthful and energetic, so you go, God bless you, Brad. I don't know. Or maybe, well, the Bible does talk about the holy kiss, but no, we won't. But we greet each other. That's part of the potluck that's served up here on Sunday morning, the role we have to play. We pray. You can't come together for this feast experience without being involved in the praying. And not just maybe one person praying, but maybe, you know, as time goes on, more of us will learn what it means to pray here, to lead in prayer here. We sing together like we did this morning. This, again, is part of the potluck. We respond to praise and prayer with amen. Now, we're not particularly noted for this, okay? But this isn't something that's to be limited to one denomination. Would you go home today and would you look up and read Ephesians chapter 3:21 and just pray into that? Here's what it says. Glory to God and in the church and to Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Yeah, it's the response. And that's the potluck we bring. I mean, it's not wrong to say that. Throughout the service, at whatever point, the Spirit of God is moving in your life. We respond to praise and to prayer with amen. We read the Scripture, like Deb did for us this morning. We listen to God's Word proclaimed. We give, and we confess our faith. And then we receive and give God's blessing. You know, I think it is this morning, I got my order right here, we receive your blessing. We're going to sing at the end of the service. And then we are sent out to give blessing in the name of the Lord. Here in gathered worship, as we come together on Sunday mornings, we give thanks to the Lord who is at work in our midst, transforming us and changing us. We believe this. This is fundamental, that the Spirit of God is found when God's people gather together, when we come together to worship. And sometimes it will seem to you, it's like God is, hey, Gwen. And sometimes it'll seem to you, hey, Doug. You see, with a whisper and with a shout, in the mind, in the heart, in the spirit, you hear God's Spirit at work in your life through the whole course of the worship that we have when we come together. You know, when we gather together, as we do 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, all of us come here with different stories wrapped around our lives. We're all wearing our own unique cloak or outer garment of a story. I have mine, and you have yours. And what happens when we gather from the very get-go through to the end is that God is at work unwrapping that cloak, that garment, that covering, that story that we have. We're carrying stuff. We're bearing stuff. And sometimes it's heavy. And sometimes it's hard. And God unwraps that and then gives us His new garment to wear, His new cloak. It's the story of God. It's the song of God. And in that story, God gives us, here in worship, He gives us a picture of a coming day, a future day that changes everything for us in the here and now. Because what God is doing and saying is, I'm changing you, Leonard. I'm changing you, Ian. I'm changing you, Liam. Right here, I'm changing you towards that future day that you can represent in your life and be a visible picture of that day that's coming when God remakes and restores and renews the whole of the earth. We get very momentary and imperfect pictures of that. That's what I am. I'm just a very imperfect picture of that. You're just a very imperfect glimpse of that. We're all broken in that sense. But God is at work here in this time so that one day, what people are seeing in us is that one day there's the promise of God that will be kept, that there will not be one corner of our lives, there will not be one corner of the whole of the creation order that will any longer be stained by sin and by resistance. So wrapped in God's new story, what we do when we come together is we lift up our lives and we lift up our voices to God. And we receive this new identity. Everything changes for us in this time that we gather together when we allow the Spirit of God through everything that's going on to change us and remake us. And we are given this new identity that we now, we choose thankful, but we also choose obedience to live under the gracious and good rule of Jesus and His church. And what's Jesus actually doing? I mean, what is actually going on in this time as we sing and we pray and we give and we read Scripture and we hear God's Word read? What's going on? Well, God is at work breaking down the walls that divide and separate us. God is at work saying His yes over our lives so that we are able to say no to the lies of the world. And what are some of those lies? Well, some of those lies are walls that are between young and old. That has happened here. This is the new identity and new story that's being formed here. I talked about 80-year-olds, the over 80s here, to the under 5s. God breaks the walls that divide. We're family, a multi-intergenerational family, the weak and the strong. Some of us come here feeling very exuberant and excited, all the good things. Some of us coming here this morning feeling very weak. And when you heard Glenn singing this morning, you said, yes, I need you, Lord. Here this morning, some can sing, and oh, can they sing? And some are tone deaf. But the Bible praises the gift of a joyful noise, and God breaks down those walls. We don't all have to sing like each other, but together we lift up the joyful song. You know, some of us come here and we're very expressive, and some of us come here and we've got enough of that Scottish sensibility in us, we're still stiff, right? The joyful and the sorrowful, the rich, the poor, male and female. You see, God's breaking down all of those walls that divide and separate us in this very hour, right here in this place. We hear the yes of God, and we recognize the lies of the world around us that divide and separate, and we say no to all of that. Gathered worship is, Mike Cosper is the pastor, or the worship pastor, at the Sojourn Church. I just forget where it is in the States. I think it's in the Midwest, but he says that, a bit of my paraphrase here, but gathered worship is to be the most truthful, truth-filled moment in our week, as the Word of God holds sway, not just over our personal lives, but our life together. This is a place, and I really do mean this from the depth of my heart, where we bring everything. I mean everything. Every story about our lives. And we don't gather to forget those stories. I'll just leave that all behind and I'll come here and I'll praise the Lord. No, no. What God says is, this is a safe place to bring the story. This is a place where when you bring your story, whatever it is, you can feel safe because it's family. And I'm at work in the midst of this family. And I'm changing and I'm remaking and I'm redoing all the stories. This is a safe place to come and bring your story and lift your story up, lift all the stories of this fellowship and this family up to God. And in an act of joy-filled trust and an act of joyous worship and an act of giving thanks in all the circumstances and situations of life, give it to the God who can redeem it, who can change it, and who can make everything new for us. You know, we sometimes sing the songs by Matt Maher, and he's got a new one out on one of his on his latest CD, and it goes, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His love never ends." And all the people said, "Now I could invite you all to come back after you've had turkey, and I don't know whether you'll say that any stronger than that or not." Whether you skipped breakfast this morning, I'm not sure what happened there. Give thanks to the Lord, for His love never ends. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. I didn't want to coerce strength in that from you, no. But as an act of choice, to choose thankfulness, to choose trust, to choose faith, to choose saying, "Lord, Your love is something I can count on, and it will never end." And so I say, Amen. I'm going to invite the praise team to come forward. We're going to sing the song, "We Receive Your Blessing," but just before we do, I'm going to invite you, stand with me, will you please, if you're able? And on this Thanksgiving Sunday, if in your heart and your life, before God, you want to go from here to give away to family and to friends, in the hard time, in the good time that you may experience through this weekend, the blessing of God, you can only do that as, first of all, you receive God's blessing. So I invite you, if you wish, to hold out your hands as I pray, and then as we sing together, your willingness, your sign that you're ready to receive the blessing of God. Lord, thank You that Your love never ends.